Again, we have worship one last time on Wednesday, 1 and 7. And if you come to 1 o'clock, come to lunch. Lunch is at noon, squash soup, Michigan salad, cornbread, pistachio ice cream, and chocolate chip cookies. And for dinner, men's ministry is serving grilled bratwurst, sautéed sauerkraut, bacon and onions, German-style potato salad, cooked glazed carrots, bread and dessert, hot dogs and chips for the confirmants. So as you can tell, the men's group, like the elders, are incapable of putting that on. So we thank Michelle Margosian for actually cooking all the food. Also, this coming Sunday is the Requiem at 9 and 10:30. We're going to have 80 people up here, and it should be wonderful. If you come to the 8 o'clock in the chapel or Monday night, we're going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day. And an update for Rummage. Thank you for all your donations, for all your labor and work, sacrifice. We are up, still a few checks are coming in, $17,140. So one of the greatest ever. We rise for opening hymn.
Make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'd like to invite the children up, please. Well, good evening, everybody. How are you guys doing? Normally, I sit down here like Pastor Farah, but it'd take me too long to get up, and we want to get out of here. So, well, it's true. So, guess what we're going to talk about today in church? Generosity. Do you know what that means? Anybody have an idea? Generosity, it's like sharing. It's like giving something to somebody. For example, you have a candy bar, and you break it in half, and you give it to your sister or brother. That's generosity. And Jesus loves people to be generous, and he wants them to be generous. And it says in Scripture that if you're generous, God will reward you back with something. So I want you to remember that, and today you're all going to get a dime because our gift didn't come in. So you get a dime. Got it? And you get a dime. And you get a dime. I feel like Oprah. And a dime for you, and a dime for you. Dime for you, and a dime for you, and a dime for you. Uh-oh. Oh, no. There's no more dimes. I guess I'm not going to get a dime. Oh, you learned. There you go. That's generosity. Good man. Good man. Well, I want to thank you for coming up, and you can go back to your seats now. Or where are they going? Down lower level? Oh, just go with lower level.
If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, give to the one who asks you. You have heard that it was said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. We rise for the sermon hymn.
Scripture reading this evening is from Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins. Truly I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we've been working through the red letters of Christ, And our first sermon, we talked about being with Christ. Then we talked about forgiving. And last week, we talked about serving. And I think this week's subject goes great hand in hand with serving because we're going to talk about generosity. Now, I have to say, I love this topic because I work here and I see how generous everybody is here. In fact, look at this sanctuary we're sitting in, and that's all thanks to our generosity, and we can repay God by worshiping and thanking Him for all the gifts He's bestowed on us. I remember as a kid, so this is the 80s, and we were having Christmas with our dear, dear family friends. These are people we used to travel with, vacation with, very close. And I liked collecting coins, and I knew every year she would give me one of the U.S. Mint's Silver Eagle coins. And I was unwrapping my gift, and I saw the box, and I knew what it was going to be, and I opened it up. And it wasn't a Silver Eagle, it was the gold Double Eagle that they also minted. Now, even as a kid, I knew that that coin was worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And let me tell you, this is back when hundreds and hundreds of dollars was real money. So I looked at her and I said, oh, this is a mistake. You probably meant this for your daughter. And she looked and she's like, oh, no, you go ahead and keep it. And I was taken aback, that level of generosity. And I said, I certainly couldn't keep it. And to be honest, if I tried, my parents weren't going to let me keep it. But that's what we're going to talk about, is this generosity. I want to warn you in advance, this is not going to be a subliminal stewardship sermon, so you don't have to worry about that. We heard in our scripture reading about the widow's offering, and this also appears in Mark 12 in verses 41 and 42. And some of us might be made a little uncomfortable when in Luke 21:3 we hear, and he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty and all she had to live on. Doing research for the sermon, I came across a statistic that said those two copper coins in today's value would be worth somewhere between 1/8 and 2/5 of a penny. So not even half a penny was what that was worth. And this really highlights something that we have to talk about, generosity. It's not the amount that you donated. It is what your heart says about that. I mean, let's be honest. How much was 2/5 of a penny going to help the temple out? Not at all. But it was because the widow's heart was generous and she gave what she had. Now, that is quite a rebuke of the rich that we hear. But I think that perhaps that might be like the rich man we read about who had a bumper crop of grain. And instead of thinking to himself, you know, I should thank God for this bumper crop, or I should maybe take some of this grain and give it to the poor, he doesn't do either one of those things. He decides to knock down his barn, build bigger barns, store all the grain, and he's going to eat, drink, and be merry. Well, what happens to him? We know from Luke 12:20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So I don't think the problem is necessarily that they're rich. I think the problem is their motives. Why did they put the money in the box? Did they donate all they could, or were they holding a little bit back? Was it for the good of the temple? Or was there some ulterior motive that they were donating? Now, I don't know the answer to that, but we know Jesus does. You know, Jesus talks about generosity and money more than almost any other subject in Scripture. And generosity is a good thing. I came across a quote that said, I think Christians and generosity go hand in hand. And then it went on to say, it's impossible to be a stingy Christian. And again, I believe it because I've seen it firsthand. You know, God welcomes sacrificial generosity, whether it's small or large, and it doesn't just mean money. Time and talents also. There is what is called the law of generosity in Scripture, and a little further down we're going to read some of those Scripture lessons. But I came across a quote based on Luke 6:37 and 38 that I thought was applicable. Generosity comes in more forms than commerce. To withhold judgment, condemnation, and unforgiveness is to act generously. And in God's economy, it is rewarded with the same kind of benevolence, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's true. And in fact, I think sometimes we have volunteers here who are volunteering their time. I'm not sure if you could put a price on what they do here and how they volunteer, the generosity. Last week we had our rummage sale, and I could not believe all the volunteers that were here helping set up, helping lug in clothing and stuff and sorting it and pricing it. It was unbelievable amount of people. And they were serving like we discussed last week, but they were also being generous with their time by being here. You know, we heard we raised over $17,000. I can tell you that would not have happened without the generosity of those volunteers. So let's look at some other scripture passages in 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Another one, Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In Hebrews 13:16, we hear, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. And the last one, 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. Now, in the original Greek, the word for cheerful is hilarious, basically. I'm not pronouncing it quite right, but it's where we get hilarious from. So God loves a hilarious giver. I don't know. You guys don't look that hilarious during the offering, but I just move on. I saw a comment that I thought was valuable. When you're generous, your money goes places that you can't. And I thought, how true is that? And I'm thinking of Redeemer. I think of where all of our generosity has gone around the world, whether it's Burkina Faso, West Africa, or Belize, or New Orleans, Family of God, Camp Restore. The youth are going to Jamaica in a few weeks. And that is our generosity being spread out to some places that we just can't physically go. And if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be able to do that. You know, if you don't believe me, you can go downstairs in our historical hall by the Scheit Room, and there's one whole panel dedicated to our missions and various pictures of people from different areas that they went to. And that's all because of your generosity. Generosity can make so much happen. I was reminded last week of the TV series The Chosen. And somebody said, you know, that was self-funded. And the first year season, it was a little touch and go if they were going to be able to keep going. But people saw that show, and they saw what it could do and the outreach it could have. It depicted Jesus and his disciples as real people with real traits and characteristics. And that really opened a door for people who might not have been interested in Jesus and how valuable that was. People saw that, and people contributed to it, and now they're working on the fourth season. We'd never have that if it weren't for the generosity of those contributors to The Chosen. And just think all the people who would be missing out if they never got to see that television show. I like in Psalms, well, obviously you're not generous to get something back, except expect something in return. But when you do give generously, Psalm 112:5, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. So something does come back to you. You know, I want you to take some time this week and reflect on your generosity. Where are you putting your time and your talents and your treasures? There's nothing wrong with reflecting on that. You know, how has God blessed you? How are you using those gifts? You may even decide to reevaluate where you're putting those gifts or realign the priorities. Again, nothing wrong with that. Just remember, don't be like the rich man with the grain, and always thank God for the gifts he has blessed you with. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We prepare to receive the offering.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. It's good for my brothers and sisters. It's good for my brothers and sisters. It's good for my brothers and sisters. But it's good enough for me. That old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. 'Cause it's good enough for me. It's good enough for me. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Upon the mountain, my Lord spoke. Out from his mouth came fire and smoke. I looked around me, it looked so fine. So I asked my Lord if all was mine. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Jordan River is chilly and cold. It chills the body, but not the soul. There ain't but one train upon this track. It runs to heaven and right back. Every time I feel the Spirit in my heart, moving me to pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
We rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've bestowed on us. We ask that you guide our use of those gifts and be generous with them. We especially thank you at this time of Lent of the most generous gift that we could have ever received, and that is your Son, Jesus, who died for us and our sins for our salvation. All this we ask as Jesus has taught us to pray.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace.
Son of man,